Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, on this Tu B'Shvat Tavshin Peh, is daf Lamed Chet. We're still holding right at the bottom over there on Lamed Zayin Amud Beit, and we were discussing various types of strange breads, bread-like things, where we were talking about the Dinum of Challah, and we were talking about what kind of bracha we make, and we were talking about this Indian bread, and we got to discuss Lechem Asui L'Kutach. Because according to one Mandi Omar, the Mother Teresa bread, or Tarita bread, was lechem that was asui lekutach. And what exactly, what would the din be about that? So we got up to Tony Rebbe Chiya, lechem asui lekutach is potter min achala. Asks the Gemara, what about the Braita that says it's chayev b'chala? And the Gemara answered a very important halacha, which becomes one of the dinim of how it is that we differentiate pot from mizonot. And hasam kediktani taima. The second brisa, it says the reason over there that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's all a function of how it's made. Ma'aseh mochichin aleha. You have to look at how it was shaped, which was how it was manufactured. And I'll tell you what the difference is. Osa'am ki'avim. If he makes them in the shape of rolls, then they are chayev and challah. But if he was also on kelimudim, then limudim means just like boards. Ah, look it. So if he made it kelimudim, then if it's just made like boards, obviously it's not a real bread. It's meant to be just an ingredient of the kutach. Remember that kutach was this pretty awful sounding whey, garlic and onion and salt and fishy stuff that they used to dip everything into. And they would mix it with this kind of bread. It's sort of like Esh Tanur, except the thing is, Esh Tanur is baked in an oven. But here we're talking about baking them in the sun. So Mamela, if you don't bake it in a normal way, but you turn it into bread because of the pains that you take to make it look like bread, you make it shaped like challahs, then indeed it has a din that it's chayev and challah. But if you just make it like boards, Bialma, then you don't care. You just basically poured out dough in the sun. And this is like the classic story of it's so hot out there, you could actually cook an egg on the asphalt surface. Here you could actually bake your bread. So in this case, it's considered not to be bread. Okay. Big machlokas in our local amaisi here in terms of how thick the batter was. And there are shitas that hold that if the batter is thick, which over here, it's not. And it just gets ultimately hardened when you leave it in the sun for a long time. So then the Shaila is there, perhaps, since it was initially, you take a look in the Tosis when you have time, that initially something which is soft that gets hard is different from something that had a real dough. And perhaps there are those shitas that hold that the dough is koveya when it comes to challah. Omalei Abayelur of Yosef. Hai kuva de'ara. What about when you make a kuva in the ground? Mai mevorchin aluyeh. And Omar Lay, so Rav Yosef said to him, so here we're talking about basically the same idea. And you cook it outside on the ground. And that's what we called before truknin. So Rav Yosef said to him, what, you think that this is a kind of bread? This is just like baked dough. It's guvla bi'amahu. It's like a dough which is baked up. And that's a barimi name is onot. It's like a pancake kind of thing at most. Marzutra was koveya as su'uda on eating these kuvas, and he would say, since he was koveya as su'uda, mevarech alei ha'motzi lechem min ha'aretz v'shalosh brachot. Later on, we're going to talk about what exactly is the din of kviya su'uda, which, as you know, is very nogeya, the airline meals, and with the supposed concept of mizonah's bread, and so on. So over here, he was koveya, and therefore he said birkat ha'mazon on it also. Omar ma'bar avashi, yeah, and you should know, that you can even use this kuva stuff to be yotzei yedei chovato bePesach. Why? Because for sure, even if you have doubts about whether it's called lechem, it's definitely called lechem oni. And therefore, because it's something that a poor person who doesn't have access to high-quality things in an oven, it's always definitely something that he would eat, and because of that, it fits the requirements of matzah. Went to our Mar Baravashi. Another thing that Mar Baravashi said, that if you've got the honey that's made out of dates, now everybody thinks that when it says in the Pusik, the Dvash, which is a reference to dates and to figs, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, they're talking about the honey that comes from the dates and from the figs. But Lamaisa, it's a reference to the fruit itself. If you get honey out of it, you squeeze it, then that's not called the fruit itself, the way that the oil is called the fruit of the zayin, and the way that the wine is called the fruit of the grape. And that is no different than orange juice. And therefore, Mevorchen Eloyah Shehakol Nihyeh Bedvaro. Why? Because my time is Zeya Ba'almahu. It's just the equivalent of sweating. In other words, it's something that is not the Iker fruit. It's something that is exuded from the fruit. And Kiman, by the way, this is a general rule that when it comes to all of the types of things like strawberries and different things that you make juice out of that you don't have the actual fruit crushed into, and you just squeeze the juice out of it, it's going according to this Tana, Rabbi Yoshua, the Tanan. Dvash Temorim, Yayin Tapuchim, Chomet Sapvaniot. Here we're talking about Truma. So a czar goes ahead and he eats date honey, or he eats apple juice, or he eats vinegar that's made out of grapes that are always at the end of the season and they never mature. They're only used for making vinegar. And all other types of fruit juice, which is Truma, Rabbi Eliezer says that you have to pay like eating truma, which means you're chayev a keren and a chomesh. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you're potter, because juice is not truma. Now, because of this, there's a very big chumrah that the briskers have, which is that you cannot take truma semaisrus from juice. So in other words, if you go ahead and you buy orange juice, you're in big trouble. Because since it's a Zeya B'Alma, you can't take off Truma Maisa from it. On the other hand, since it came from fruits that are Dmai, and you don't know whether Truma is, so it's a Dover that was Yotze Min HaTame. It was something that came from something that was Hotzer. There's nothing to do for it. So you would only be able to drink those kind of things if you have access to the fruit from which it was made, and then you could take off Truma Maisa from the actual fruit. Which makes heck of a lot of sense from this Gemara. Trima mahu. What is the din about trimos? Now, trima is talking about a not mashed, but pressed and crushed a little bit type of thing. And it was something that Rava couldn't quite, he didn't grasp. What exactly is a trima? I don't really know what he's talking about. And lo avi adai to the Rava my karmale. So initially, he couldn't figure out what he was saying. And Ravina was there, and he didn't want Rava to be embarrassed by what exactly is a trima. So Ravina started asking the guy questions, and he said to him, well, what type of trima are you talking about? You're talking about sesame trima, where you crush sesame in order to get oil out of it, or you're talking about courtamy, you're talking about saffron trima, or you're talking about grape pits, which oftentimes people will crush a little bit in order to put water on it to make temed. Anyway, meanwhile, that reminded Rav, trima is like things that are crushed. So Adahokivaki asked Rav Lodaite, that got him back to understanding, and Rav said, oh, you're talking about chashilta vadeka amart. You're talking about something which was crushed. Now we had exactly, as Rashi brings, we had the same lushan in Chulin where we were talking about crushed testicles. Obviously, that doesn't mean completely squished into like a potato, a mashed potato or something. We're not talking about that. So we're talking about a little bit of smashing. It's crushed, but it's not completely mush. And that's what you're talking about. Ah, you reminded me of something. Va'atken on Milta, you reminded me of something that Rav Asi had said, that Hai Tamri Shel Truma Mutar La'asot Meham Truma, Trima, V'yasu La'asot Meham Shechar. Suppose you have dates of Truma. Now remember, you are not allowed to ruin Truma. So you cannot make beer. They used to make beer out of dates, because if you make the beer out of the dates, the Iker date itself ends up being ruined, and you're just getting the juice out of the date. Masha Einkein, you are allowed to make a trima. So that means that in crushing things, it's still considered to be a real date. And you haven't done anything wrong to the date. So if that's the case, then it must be that you make ha'etz. And that would be the solution, because otherwise it would be ruining the date. V'hilchata. So the halacha is like this. Tamri avavidna trima. If you took dates and you made them into this crushed stuff, you say abori priya etz. Why? Just like we just proved, my taima, b'miltayu kaimikinimi kara, they are still considered to be what it is that they were. So if you have, let's say, an applesauce, where you haven't completely mushed the apples into a liquid, so then you would actually make ha'etz. If it's so fine, you put it through a blender and there's nothing at all that is a piece of apple in there, so then enochinami, then you get into a question of whether you should just say shahako, which many hold. Now, what bracha would you make on shatita? Now, what is shatita? Shatita is you take the wheat or whatever grain you're using, you don't allow it to dry out, but instead you do what Quaker Oaks does, shot from guns. You put it into an oven, you dry it out a little bit, and then that keeps it very sweet. And then you grind it up, and then you mix in different stuff, you know, like oil, honey, and stuff like that. What bracha do you make? Rav says, at that point, you say shakol ni abidvaro. Shmuel says, no, you say aborimi mini mizonos. Rav Chista says they're not really arguing, because Shmuel was talking about a thick shatita, and Rabba was talking about a loose shatita, and the thick shatita, the ovav Shmuel, is made for eating. It's a real food, and because of that, you say borim in mizonos. Whereas the case of raka, that Rav was talking about, that's made for a refuah. So its essential purpose is actually for eating as a medication. Now, this is a little bit of a problem, because before we had the case of anigron, and we said that even though the anigron, the beet stuff and so on, that it's also being drunk for a refuah, that is apparently different than over here. And here you would only make a shahakol, because apparently people in general do not drink loose shatita, whereas people in general do have a nice cup of anigron for their morning juice. Mosif Rav Yosef. Now, everybody agrees that you are allowed to mix up the shatita on Shabbos if it's settled out. Let's see, the honey and the oil and the stuff settled out from the Swedish dough. And you would be allowed to mix it on Shabbos. And you're allowed to drink zeitom ha-mitzri on Shabbos, which is used basically as a laxative. It was a kind of... the Gemara talks about it at length in Pesachim. And the problem that I have is that if you're right and that this stuff is made for a refuah, I got news for you. You're not allowed to make a refuah on Shabbos. So how in the world could we be matir it? Then how are we being matir making it on Shabbos? Refuah b'Shabbos b'shari? What kind of kasha is that? When it comes to brachas, we have a completely different set of criteria. Okay, the point is that when it comes to refuah on Shabbos, the isser of refuah on Shabbos is only on things which are evident to anybody looking that the only reason that somebody could drink that was a refuah. If there are people who also would drink it, then even though it's a small number of people, but the fact that you want to drink it for a refuah does not make it usher. You want to make it for a refuah does not make it usher, because it is still considered to be a food. So therefore, it's a bias to Rav Yosef. What? And you don't hold that? It's a beferish of Mishnah Masechet Shabbat. Kol ha'ochlin, ochel adam refuah b'Shabbos. As long as it's a foodstuff, any foodstuff, I don't care how weird it is. I mean, for heaven's sakes, who would eat Marmite, right? But kol ha'ochlin, people are allowed to eat for refuah on Shabbos. And anything that is considered to be a mashkin, you're allowed to drink, okay? So therefore, what's the reason if he's doing it for refuah? Obviously, because the point is that a person could say, oh, this guy is just interested in eating it. Fine, so same thing is true over here. Achinami gavar la'achilo kamachavin. It may well be that this guy's just eating it. And because of that, there was no iser. But Mashenka, when it comes to the bracha, obviously that has to do with the purpose that you have in mind and not what it is that it looks like. So what does that have to do with the dinim of refuah on Shabbos? Lishna Achrina says it's slightly different. That what Abaye said to Rav Yosef is, okay, so how do you explain to yourself the Mishnah Shabbos, huh? Elamai Yislachalameima. That the gavra lachilo kamachavin, because the point is the person doesn't look at this either as a medication. He views it as a therapeutic food. Now, there's a big difference between that. He's eating. And the refuah, memela kahavya. It's not as if he sees this as medication. So over there, whatever effect it has to cure him is memela. So achinami al-chilo kobechavein v'refuah memela kahavya. And therefore, there's no iser on Shabbos whatsoever. Now, we do need, however, the din that Rav said, there's some take out the Shmuel because we don't talk about the din of Shmuel over here, but the din of Rav that you say a bracha of Shahakol on the Shatita, we still need it because just to go on the basis of the brisa that's matir on Shabbos, I wouldn't know that you're supposed to make any bracha on it because I could have said, look, it's all very nice and it's considered to be a food vis-a-vis the iser refuah b'Shabbos, but that doesn't mean that if somebody who's not eating it for food, he's eating it for refuah, maybe he shouldn't make a bracha at all because his entire thoughts about eating it is for refuah. You'd never get me to eat this stuff in a normal day. So la'achila kamechavin, therefore hava mina, that I would have thought that the loose shatita is begabe Shabbos is because what we just said, that it's memela refuah. Bashenken over here, when it comes to dinam of brocha, aval hocha kibin al chathilo refuah kamechavin. The main point of the person's eating it is only for refuah. Maybe there's no din of making a brocha when it's a refuah. Kamash malan, that the bottom line is, which is the yesod that we saw earlier, kibin de itle hana'amine, since it is a food, and since he does have hana from the food, it does provide nourishment. So memela boy bruche, but that bracha would be ishakol. Now the Mishnah continued on to say that normally you would say a bari pri adama, except for one special case, and that case is the case of bread. On bread, you say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So Tanur Rabbanan, mahu omer? What exactly is the lashon of that bracha? Do you say hamotzi lechem min haaretz, or do you say motzi lechem min haaretz? The Tanakhama says hamotzi. Rabbi Nechemiah says you say motzi lechem min haaretz. Amar Rava, look, everybody agrees that the mashma'ut of the word motzi is definitely means something that had already happened. And when we give a bracha, that's the appropriate word to use. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be bringing out bread, is bringing out bread, but that he did bring out this bread which I am about to eat. So that's the point. So if I say motzi, for sure that's a good bracha. Where do I see that it refers to Lashon Avar? Because it says, El motziyam mimitzrayim. That's part of Bilam's words. My gosh, that's almost 40 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he's using the word motziyam. So obviously motzi is used as he who brought them out. Ki plige, the machlokes says, would you be yotze with hamotzi? The Rabbonin hold, yes, even hamotzi is mashma, that he brought them out. Where do we see that? Because it says, Hamotzi lecha mayim mitzur achalamish. Now that's something that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about right before the Knesset and Eretz Yisrael. And he's telling them, don't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was Motzi lecha mayim during the time you were in the Midbar, mitzur achalamish. Seems to be a great raya. Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, Hamotzi means something that is going on or that he will be doing. So it's talking about the mafik who's taking hamotzi etchem mitachat zivlot Mitzrayim. Let me ask you something. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell the Bnei Yisrael in the beginning of Va'era, after the big argument about the Hatzilu Itzaltat Amecha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, he talks about the four Lashonis of Geula Velakachti etchem and so on. And at that point, Yedatem Keni Hashem Elokechem hamotzi etchem eretz Mitzrayim. It hadn't happened yet. So Tainas Rebbe Nechemiah, so you see that Hamotzi means that which will be taking place in the future. Now, that's not the appropriate lashon for the bracha at all. Now, once happened, that it's always, as I've pointed out, always dangerous to tell someone that, oh, this guy's a big Talmud Chacham. Oh, my God. That really puts him into the spotlight. And sure enough, they did this to they told Rabbi Zera that Reb Zvid's son, this was the brother of the famous son of Reb Zvid, Reb Shimon bar Reb Zvid, and they told Rabbi Zera that this guy is a big baki in brachas. Oh boy. So Adam Gadalu, who baki bebrachotu, and of course, as you know, the old chosen test was the Tu B'Shvat test, you know, put out all those fruits and all those pieces, and then watch and see if the chosen knows which thing he's supposed to make a bracha on first, and then it's a thumbs down, and that's the end of the shilach, you know. So sure enough, Rabbi Zera says, easy. L'kishyavoli etchem, haviyu liyadi. When you get hold of him, bring him over. And so sure enough, Zimna Chada, once it happened that this son of Reb Zvid came to visit Rabbi Zera. So they brought out the bread. And they asked him, you know, okay, make a bracha on the bread. So he goes ahead and he makes the bracha, motzi lechem min haaretz. Says Rabbi Zera, ha! Zero shomrim alav adam gadol ubaki bebrachas. This guy? They're claiming this guy knows something about brachas? Ha! If he had said ha motzi lechem in aretz, okay, at least he would have done something intelligent, because he would have then be teaching us how to understand the pasuk ashmina taima v'ashmeinan. Oh, you know what happened? The taima is I skipped over what. Oh shoot! I'm so sorry. I skipped over the alternative explanation of what it was that the Rabbonin did with Rabbi Nechemia's thing. I'm so sorry. V'Rabbonin, just go back, please, just a little bit. V'Rabbonin, what does it mean when he says that Hamotzietchem mitachat zivlot Mitzrayim? It means Zochikar Melakutu Brichel Yisrael. The meaning of the pasuk is that Moshe was telling the Bnei Yisrael Kadma Fikna Luchu HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when I will take you out, then I'm going to be doing the most amazing things for you in Avida Luchu Milta, in order that you will always know that it was I who took you out. But that is in the past, even though right now I'm telling you this is what's going to be happening in the future. But according to the Rabbanan, the understanding of the Pasuk is not you will know that I am Hashem that will take you out of Mitzrayim, but rather you will know in the future that it was I who was the one who did take you out of Mitzrayim. The point is then you will know Hamotzi in the past etchem mi'aretz Mitzrayim. So if, therefore, Tainas Rabbi Zera, if he would have said the word Hamotzi, so then he would have explained to us how it is that we understand that pasuk, because otherwise we're stuck, when he says motzi, we're stuck with Reb Nachman's approach. And furthermore, he would have also told us the halacha is like the Rabbanan, who say that the girsa of the Mishnah, of the bracha, is hamotzi. But he takes the easy way out. The guy's a chicken. A chicken is not considered to be a guy who's a bucky in brachas. He said motzi. Anybody could have said that. Micah Mashmon, what's he teaching us? Well, I mean, but he obviously, I mean, the son of Reb Zvi, I mean, he didn't want to get involved in a big machlokas. He figured if he would say Hamotzi, people would start jumping at him. You know, what are you going to do with the sheet of Reb Nachman? Okay, what the heck, you know, say something that everybody is happy with. Now, this is a fascinating sugya, and it's a very unique to brachas sugya specifically. Because remember that the idea of brachas we had yesterday, even the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the more you are medayik in the chiddush of the bracha, in the uniqueness of the bracha, the more choshev is the bracha. Generally speaking, it's advantageous to keep yourself away from a machlokas. But since the idea of bracha is a creative act that makes you part of Maisa Bereishis, and this would be the reason that Reb Yehuda says that we have to be very makpid to go through each min v'min the way it was. Just this is what Robert pointed out yesterday, that it's really similar to Maaseh Bereishis, where each thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let there be this and let there be this and so on. So too, a bracha should be very specific. And if that's the case, then Hamotzi is something that forces us into a consideration of the nature of the words, and they show a sense of caring about language and about how it relates to what's happening. And that's very kosher for bracha, because bracha is the impact of language. And therefore, in this case, Rabbi Zera held that the son of Rabbi Zvi should not have taken himself out of a machlokas. Later on, we're going to see problems to this. But right now, that seems to be the point. The halacha is, ha-motzi lechem in ha-oretz, de-kayim lech rabbonan, the Amri de Apik Mashma. Now, that is a problem, right? Because, I mean, what can you lose if everybody agrees that Motzi, including the Rabbanan, Motzi obviously means who has brought out. What's the point of paskening like the Chachomi Bedavka to say Ha Motzi as the given? So Tosis brings a beautiful Yerushalmi who says that the idea is that if you say Motzi Lechem in Haaretz, then you end up making a confusing words, and it's always more makbid your phonemes to keep separate, as we saw from the din of Kriyat Shema. So if you would say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Motzi, but mem blurs one of the mems. So therefore, if you say HaMotzi, then you say HaOlam HaMotzi. Now, the problem is, but anyway, you're going to have a mem when you say lechem min or lechem mem min. How many mems are there? Aha. So what are you going to do about that? For that, the Yerushalmi says, but you can't change that because that's the pasuk. Matzmiach chatzir labema, ve'esev la'avodata adam, lohotzi lechem min ha'aretz. You have to say that. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to use, says Tosfos, both hands to put on the bread and cut it, because that will remind you that you've got 10 fingers. Of course, is the first thing you're going to think of. You've got 10 fingers on those two hands, and those 10 fingers are connected to 10 words in the pasuk Matzmiach Chatzir LaBehema, and therefore you will connect the bracha to the pasuk of Lahotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. It's very beautiful. Okay, anyway, so we've got an understanding now. Halacha Lamaisa. So we're Kaimla Rabbanan. They say the Afik Mashma, and do it. Okay, continuing on in the Mishnah, what do you say about veggies? Now, putting the vegetables in this order in the Mishnah, you put them together with the comment about what the din is on pot, okay? There's something in that. The Mishnah wanted to put together those two dinim because it's teaching us. They're just like pot nishtana ayadei ha'ur, so too yirakot namish nishtanu ayadei ha'ur. So just like pot is something which obviously, its whole point is that it's been changed because of the fire, the heat. So it would mean that cooked vegetables are also going to maintain their bracha of bari pri ha'adama. Omer abnai mishmei de'amai. So what that proves is that if you've got a stew, mevarchan aleihem bari pri ha'adama, because after all, it's similar to pot, right? Dorash Rav Chisda mishum rabbeinu. But Rav Chisda, he gave once a drasha in the name of Rav, Umanu Rav, that indeed, shlokot mevorchin aleihem borei pri adama, but he continued on to say that you should know not everybody agrees with our Rebbe. Because Rabotenu Ayordimi Eretz Yisrael, referring to Ula, quoted Rebbe Yochanan, who said that actually, shlokot, if you've got a stew, you say, she'akol niyeh bidvaro, once you wreck the vegetable by stewing it, because it's no longer in its initial state. Ve'ani, I can tell you, said Rav Chisda, that they are not actually arguing. And the point is like this. If the vegetable in its original state is etchilato, is bori pri ha'adama, so it's just something that you would make a bori pri ha'adama on as it is. So then when you cook it, you're taking it down, and it becomes a shakol niyeh bidvaro. But if it's something that is initially shakol niyeh bidvaro, I mean, when you would eat a potato, you take a raw potato, put it in your mouth and eat the raw potato? No. So at that point, it would be a shakol. So then when you cook the potato, now you're making it better. So then it would be shlako, it would become a bori pri ha'adama. So basically, they're talking about two different situations. Yes, wait a minute. I understand that initially, if it's a shakol niyeh bidvaro, that when you cook it, it then becomes a bori pri ha'adama. I mean, that's pretty common, you know. I mean, you find that in a lot of things. I mean, you find that in pumpkins and in beets and in Brussels sprouts and stuff like that, where people eat it specifically cooked. But the other way around, like, what are things where tchilato borei pri adama, then if you cook it, it then becomes, I mean, where do you find something, which would things be things that you only would eat raw, and you would view them as being, like, in a state of their best when they're raw? What do you mean? What about garlic? And what about lettuce, leeks, those kind of things? Now, if Tosis points out, what are you talking about? Garlic? Onions? I mean, everybody loves those cooked. How can you say that? No, says Tosis, everybody loves them cooked because they're cooked in something. So that's something. Let's see, cooking them in a meat stew. Of course they taste much better, but they don't taste much better because the onion tastes better. They taste better because onion cooked with meat tastes better. That's the point. So if you're talking about, but you take the same onion, you put it in water, it's not going to have the same geschmack or the garlic. It's not going to have the same geschmack as the raw onion. Dorash Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu Zan. Rav Nachman also said over Barabim, quoting Rabbeinu, but his Rabbeinu wasn't Rav, it was Shmuel, that Shlakot Mevorchan Aleihem Bori Pri Adama, and Rav Nachman, who was the big Pesach, he didn't view Ula as being Rabotenu, he viewed Ula as being Chaveirenu. So Chaveirenu, who came down from Eretz Yisrael, Manu Ula, quoted Rav Yochanan as saying, Shlakot Mevorchan Aleihem Shakol Niyeh Bidvoro. And I say, this is I, Reb Nachman, as opposed to what Reb Chista says, I say they are most definitely arguing, and they are arguing actually in an old machlokes tanoim. Nani omer b'machloket shnuya, the Tanya. It says in a braita that yotzim berekika sharui, on Pesach you could take matzah that was soaked in water and be yotze with it, and you can even be yotze with matzah that was put into boiling water, but at least it didn't completely melt away. It was lo nimuach. So says Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you could be yotze if you soaked it in water, but you certainly cannot be yotze once you cooked it, because cooking it takes off the din of lechem bichlal, and therefore you would not be yotze. So I think, what's the connection? So obviously he thinks, Reb Nachman thinks, that just like cooked matzah is still considered to be matzah, so cooked vegetables are considered to be vegetables. Masha Enkein, Reb Yossi holds that cooked matzah is no longer matzah, it's no longer bread, so cooked vegetables would be a shahakol, says the Gemara, but there's no connection. I'm sorry, that's a big mistake. Velohi. The Kuliyah Mishlok is before Chanaleh and Poir Priyadam. It could be everybody agrees that, of course, it's still a veggie. What was Reb Yossi talking about over here? Pesach and matzah? The whole point of Pesach is to be able to taste the matzah and to sense what it was the lechem oni is. You're not going to be yotzi, not because it doesn't have a din of lechem, but because there's no more tam matzah. So it's mishum debeina tam matzah v'lecha v'locha mashenkin. As far as cooked vegetables are concerned, Rabbi Yossi would be made, and therefore there's no relationship between the machlokas, the supposed machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, and the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. So now it turns out that there seems to be that both Reb Nachman and Reb Chista agreed that Reb Yochanan actually did say that shlokot are a shahakol. Says Reb Chia Bar Ava that Reb Chia Bar Ava was a talmid of Yochanan. He quotes Reb Yochanan as saying that no, shlokot obore priya adama. It was Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, who was another talmid of Reb Yochanan, who had claimed that shlokot mevorkin aleihem shakol niyeh bidvaro. And Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak pointed out, you know where Ula got the crazy idea that Reb Yochanan held that on boiled vegetables you would say a shahako? He got it because he believed Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet. And anybody who believes Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, no matter what, I guarantee you is screwed up. Because of that, he messed up. And he was kava ula l'shabishte like Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes. Because he believed it, he ended up actually thinking that that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, and he never should have believed it. As a matter of fact, when Rabbi Zera heard about this machlokes, that on the one hand, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba says Adama, and Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet says Shahakol, he said, how does anybody even mention Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet in the same paragraph as Rabbi Chia Bar Abba? This is outrageous. It's just not right. Because Chimanyan Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, it's Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Rabbi Chia Bar Abba was like a really amazing Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. He was Dayak, V'gomer Shmaitzim, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. He used to be very, very Medayak and say it over exactly. Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet never got anything right. Lo Diek, he wasn't careful. Not only that, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, every 30 days, he would go over the learning that he had. Tosfos understands, I mean, the learning that he had in the entire period of the 30 days. On the 31st day, he would go all over with Rabbi Yochanan. He said, I want to just make sure I got it straight and say over all the things that he had learned. Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet never did that. And besides, Bar Midain, forget about both of those things, okay? It's ridiculous. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan never said that you would make a shahakol on cooked vegetables, for God's sake. There was a famous case of a turmus, the shokle shevazim nebikadera. Turmus are these very, very difficult to soften beans. They sell them up. The Druze sell these turmusim when you go up to the Golan. They needed to be cooked 7 times. They cooked this thing 7 times. And they fed it to Rabbi Yochanan as a dessert, bikinuach se'uda. And they asked Rabbi Yochanan, so what bracha do you say on this now? Don't tell me this wasn't cooked. Man, was it cooked. And he said, you say a bori priya adama on it. So how can you tell me that you say a shahakol uncooked? So furthermore, we also can see that he never said what Rabbi Yomar Bar Yafes claimed, because Rabbi Chia Bar Ava said that I once saw Rabbi Yochanan eating a salted olive. Now remember that salting has the same din as bishul, right? That's got to be all of the various din. So I saw him eating this salted olive, and it had been salted for a long time, and he made a bracha both at before eating it and after eating it, which I'm assuming means that he he made its bracha. In other words, he said, Bori Priya Eitz, right? So, Yem Shlokot Mimatayu Kaime. See, if you're going to tell me that boiled veggies, in which case salted olives, which are the same as boiled veggies, that they are still their dins, it would mean that when he ate it, Rabbi Yochanan made the normal bracha that you make on an olive, and then afterwards he said, al haperot. It's all perfect for Tu B'Shvat. Anyway, but if you're going to really believe what Rabbi Yom Bar Yefet said, namely, that cooked veggies are a shahakol, then cooked, that is, salted olives, should also be a shahakol, and shlokas or lav v'miltayu, you could say that the opening bracha was a shahakol, okay? But then what would be the bracha at the end? Now, the reason that we don't think it's a bernefash, as we're going to see later on, that there was a very strong shita that held that you do not say a bernefash on anything except meat and eggs and stuff like that, but not on things that otherwise would have had a bracha. So we didn't think that it was a bari nefashot. Now, at the end, obviously, the Gemara says, well, it could be that maybe he didn't hold of Rav Avdimi later on. You can't prove it from there. But anyway, whew, I wouldn't like to be in Rabbi Ben Yom Bar Yefet's shoes today. Anyway, Masif Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Yirakot Shalom Yotze Be'em Yedei Chovato BePesach. Now, there was a question from the Mishnah in Arbei Pesachim that the vegetables, you could be yotze morar, your yotze, whether you eat them or you eat the kelach shalom, you eat the stalk, but you will not be yotze. I have a terrible time with this gemara every time I get to it because I'm the one who does kol nidre on Yom Kippur. And this gemara absolutely drives me crazy to the point where even on Yom Kippur, I have to control myself not to start smiling during kol nidre because I always hear these words are saying, lo kevu v'shin v'lo shelukin v'lo mevusholim. Anyway, so you're not yotze if it's pickled or if it's stewed or if it's cooked. Now, according to you, if it's cooked, Isaac, that's going to be a Messiah. I'm sorry, I hope I didn't ruin your kol nidre forever. But it's like, oh my gosh. Anyway, if Lamaisa, you hold cooked vegetables are the same, why can't you be yotze with cooked mura? What does this have to do with this? Shiny awesome, obviously, if you cook it, it's not going to taste bitter. The whole point of mura is supposed to taste like mura, for God's sake. So shiny also being a tam mura veleka. You can't compare this at all. Okay, tomorrow we get into the kezias. Can you eat and make a bracha on that salted olive if, after you salt the olive, it's talking about he ate one olive, it says, but he didn't eat the pit of the olive, so now you don't have a kezias. Great. So once we're already talking about the dinim of Pesach, we might as well get into the big questions of what do you do about the kezias, right? Okay.